Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, and welcome to this week's edition of Contact with Leslie Mitchell-Clark. Leslie is actually phoning in from a remote location tonight, so I'm going to pick up her call and let her introduce the show as she always does. And Leslie, are you online?
I am absolutely online, Wes. Thank you so much for engineering this evening's show, as you often do. And I am at a remote location, but not as remote as you might think. I'm in Mississauga.
Okay, relatively speaking.
It seems remote to me, though, I must say. Anyway, I did want to welcome everyone to the show this evening, and we are continuing with our fantastic series of guests. Every one of them for the past couple of months is appearing at the Alien Cosmic Expo, which is perhaps Canada's largest, most prestigious ufology-oriented event that we've really ever had. And it's happening in Brantford, Ontario on June 25th, 26th, and 27th. So if you do not have your tickets yet, I understand there are still a few tickets left, not a lot. So please log on to aliencosmicexpo.com and you can get your tickets today. So in keeping with that, I wanted to speak just a bit about our fantastic guest this evening. We are very honored to welcome to the program for the first time Mr. Gordon Ellison. And Gordon Ellison is a spiritual medium, and he's going to discuss the subtle differences between calling oneself a medium or a psychic. And he certainly is very well known for holding his weekly meditation circles. He runs with a very exalted crowd. One of his good friends is Mr. James von Prague, who certainly is one of the world's most renowned psychics. And we're going to be, or perhaps medium would be the better word, not totally sure. We're going to let him explain that. He's also an author and has all kinds of activities going on. So we are very, very blessed to welcome Mr. Gordon Ellison to the program this evening. And Gordon, are you there?
No, I will. I'll give you the cue, Leslie, when he comes online. I'm just watching the switchboard right now.
All right. Well, that'll
and
be great.
And so
you know,
maybe we can talk about our sponsors a little bit while we wait for Mr. Ellison to come on board.
We can. Also, I did want to mention that Gordon Ellison is also a native Canadian. He is a member of the Ojibwe tribe, and we're really excited because we're going to be able to talk about the relationship, the longstanding through millennia, and perhaps genetic relationship between the native peoples. And that's globally. I'm talking about native peoples throughout the world and their relationship with the sky people or the extraterrestrials, if you will. So we will be discussing that. And as you said, Wes, let's send a big thank you out to our wonderful sponsors. First, I'd like to talk about our sponsor, Patrick White and Conspiracy Culture, marvelous mm-hmm. bookstore in Toronto. And Patrick White, I know, was just very involved with the recent Disclosure Conference, which happened on the 11th, happened yesterday at the University of Toronto. So Patrick White is one of our dear friends, and we thank them for their support and their sponsorship. And also the UFOria organization and UFOria Chronicles on Facebook. And we'd like to thank James Borg, the fearless leader of UFOria. And without UFOria, there probably would be no Contact Radio. So we do thank them and James Borg and all the UFOrians for their complete, tireless support. And who else would we like to thank, Wes?
Well, I think the Canadian Hypnosis Conference, and maybe, Leslie, if we're allowed to, we can speak a little bit about an event we had this past Tuesday evening.
Oh, absolutely. We were, Wes and myself, were very privileged to appear on a Rogers television program called Wits and Pieces, which is broadcast in the Brantford area and probably beyond. It is the regional Rogers station. And we had a extensive, it was a 1 hour long program, and we were really able to cover a lot of ground. We talked not only about Alien Cosmic Expo, but we talked really in great detail abduction phenomena. And I really don't like to use the term abduction anymore. I think it has a very negative vibration to it. But we did talk about experiencers, contactees, extraterrestrial contact, disclosure, our ancient archaeology, reverse engineering. So we really got into it for a total hour. And I'm not sure if the program can be accessed through the Rogers website. Wes, do you have any information about that? Or?
Well, I can talk about it a little bit. Last time I checked, which wasn't today, but perhaps yesterday, the program was being listed. It's a regular Tuesday night program. It was originally broadcast at 10 p.m. ET this past Tuesday night. And then when I was looking at their website, which is pretty cool, Wits and Pieces, you can just Google that and you'll find it. I was looking at a number of videos, in fact, quite a few videos they posted that were from past shows. So I'm going to keep my eye on that and hope that they post this particular show we were on, because the three of us, yourself, myself, and Joanne, had a real genuine opportunity to talk up the expo, talk about your practice and treating abductees and experiencers, and even talk about one of my accounts.
Yeah, it was quite it was quite something. And certainly once we acquire the link, we'll be putting it up on our Facebook page, which is, of course, facebook.com/contactRS. So you'll be able to see it up there very shortly. And before too long, we're also going to be having a Contact Radio YouTube channel. So any of those access points will be viable.
Absolutely, and I'm really looking forward to that. Our friends should understand who are listening. It is the two of us, and we are working in concert with a lot of good partners, but we do put in as much energy and time into the show and into getting the word out as we can. So things like the Facebook page took some time to get up, and it'll take a little bit to get the YouTube page up.
Okay.
But we will get all these things up.
Wes, I hate to interrupt you, but I had a call that just came into my my mobile phone. I'm wondering if perhaps that's Gordon Ellison. If you don't mind, I'm just going to check for just 1 second, and perhaps you could thank some of our additional sponsors while I'm doing that. I'll be right back with you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, friends, you're on Contact Radio right now. And we still hope to be welcoming guest Gordon Ellison this evening. I was actually just going to give him a call just in case he had some issues getting through to the line. Blog Talk's kind of infamous for a little trouble, some wrinkles, so hopefully he doesn't have any trouble getting to the line. But I want to mention his website and also, again, mention the Alien Cosmic Expo. So Gordon's website is www.gordonellison, and that's two L's. .com. And it's a great site. It's an interesting site. There's a great photo of him. In fact, they're rotating photos, lots of sections of his site that you can look at, including his blogs, including some videos, including a calendar of events. So you'll want to have a look at Gordon's site if you can. And also aliencosmicexpo.com. And Leslie and I were just talking about a live Rogers television broadcast that we had this past Tuesday night. So it was all really kind of interesting and fortuitous for us when we were out Tuesday night. We had thought we'd be part of a 30-minute show, but as it turns out, we were part of an hour show because their guest didn't show up. And so we were really, really fortunate to get a lot about our story out about techniques of hypnotherapy and even an account that I had in the 1980s that I've already related on the show. Having said that, folks, I'm going to pick up what looks to be like Leslie again, so just 1 sec. And Leslie, is that you?
I am here. Hey, okay. Wes, that's me. That was a 905 number coming into my phone. I don't believe that 905 is where Mr. Ellison is located. I know he's in Fort Erie. I don't believe that's a 905 number. But at any rate, Mr. Ellison, if you are listening to the broadcast, let us give you the guest call-in line one more time. That is for you, 1-424. I'm sorry, Wes, can you go ahead and mention
I've got
that?
It. The I've got it
line?
On here, and then I'm going to let you chat about the expo while I try and reach Mr. Ellison as well. So the guest
okay.
call-in, Gordon, is 1-424-220-1861. And for all others starting around 9:30 tonight, if you're not in Canada, 888-891-3884. And Leslie, perhaps if you talk a little bit about the Alien Cosmic Expo some more and some of the guests, I will put my phone on mute and try to reach Mr. Ellison on another phone.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Okay.
As we were mentioning, the event takes place June 25th, 26th, 26th, 27th, and 28th in Brantford, and we have an incredible lineup of guests. I am telling you, they are the creme de la creme of ufology and also other related metaphysical disciplines, because we at Contact believe that it is all related. And in fact, just recently, in fact, a couple of days ago, Wes and I pre-recorded an interview, which we're going to be airing in a couple of weeks, with the Honorable Paul Hellyer. And you may recognize the name, Paul Hellyer. He is the former Defense Minister of Canada. He's been a politician. He calls himself a maverick economist. And we had a very lively discussion about not only disclosure, but about the things that Mr. Hellyer believes have to take place in order for us to proceed into the future. And some
okay,
of those
Leslie,
things involved.
I'm just going to interrupt you for a sec. I'm sorry.
Yes,
I think
go ahead.
Mr. Ellison has just called in.
Great.
So let me try and pick up that call for you.
Okay, sounds good.
And I was listening and you were just talking about our interview with Paul Hellyer, which was pretty cool. So I'm just going to try and pick up this call.
Okay, sounds great.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Ellison. Is that you?
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Hey,
very
Gordon.
Well. Welcome
great
to the
hear
show.
Your voice, man.
Hey,
right.
How are you guys doing?
We
I
are
had
great
a,
this
I had a
evening.
Different number. I had a 420 number on here.
Oh, boy.
Oh, what story about that?
Probably my dyslexia. I must apologize.
I thought it was mine.
No.
If I don't do enough crossword puzzles, you know, things like this happen.
Well, yeah, that's sure to find its way, right?
Anyway, here you are. You're online with us. I'm so thrilled to welcome you. I gave our listeners a little brief overview of your life and your career and your work. And I just want to thank you for joining us this evening. We talked a little bit about how you're going to be appearing at the Alien Cosmic Expo. We're really looking forward to that. And maybe we should just start off with just a little overview, Gordon, of the work that you are doing as a spiritual medium. And I know that there are subtle distinctions between calling oneself a medium and a psychic, and maybe you could speak to that a little bit.
Right. Well, what I do is I also teach psychic development at my home here. A spiritual mediumship is when you're actually getting information from the spirit directly. You're having a conversation like you and I are having. It's done different forms of different mediums. I hear them as I'm talking to you. I hear them in thought. I'm hearing them out loud as well. And with a psychic, they're more or less on a different wavelength. However, it's a difference because they're not communicating directly to the spirit. One of the things I tell the people is that the difference between a psychic and a medium is one's receiving information, one's retrieving information. So the psychic would be retrieving the information, and the medium's receiving the information.
Ah, I see. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So a psychic would really be maybe more focused in communications with people who are still in the physical plane, in the third
mm-hmm.
density, who haven't necessarily
yeah.
crossed over.
Yeah, and also with like the future events and things that come on. Like people ask me when they come to read and they want to know about the future. I say I don't do the weather. You know, I say I just talk to people who are here, and I don't want to look ahead in the future or anything like that. But with the people that I speak with, there are some that are still on this earth plane. and there are most of them that are crossed over. They want to make a connection with that. And my big concern is serving spirit. That's the biggest thing I have. And as long as I can serve spirit and show people that, you know, this isn't the only life. We live in different parallels, and that life still exists. We're just an occupation of an organism, a host that's here. We're the essence, and this is the organism. And at the time of division, we split, literally split. The organism returns down to its natural state, which is the earth, and we move on.
Indeed. That would be the natural course of events. And this is something, what you have just described, is seems to me a very deep tenet of Native peoples, you know, throughout the globe. And we did want to touch on, I mean, you are so blessed to be of Ojibwe ancestry, and we did want to talk a little bit about the eons-old relationship between extraterrestrial beings and Native peoples.
Okay. The sky spirits, yeah.
Yes.
And even still today, it goes on. I talked to some of my friends from different reservations, and I've had discussions about, you know, me coming to the facility and doing the lectures, and that's there. And discussion that talks about, you know, seeing the lights or seeing globes of lights at the end of Six Nations down by one of the fields down there, and as far as up in Temiskaming from where I'm from, you know, and these things, they're seen all the time, you know, and a lot of people just kind of debunk that type of thing. But there's a relationship with all things and spirits, two-spirited, legs, everybody in the whole world, there's a relationship that's there. You know, and that's something that's talked about. You hear about it in the Bible. You hear about it, you know, Native lore. You hear about it from one tribe to another tribe, you know, discussing about the shapes, about visitors, people that actually do visit here.
Indeed, and I believe they do. And I think with the original people of the earth, I think there may even be a genetic component with some with some beings that do visit us. I mean, there is a genetic component, amazingly enough, between Native peoples and also peoples of Asia, people of Southeast Asia.
Right,
and
right.
One has to wonder if there wasn't some original civilization that sort of seeded the planet in a way.
It's interesting because sometimes when I even talk to my guides, Shamuel and Sakura, about issues like this, they talk about there's a duality where it was almost like we're put here as an experiment to see how we can survive. And as that's going on, they still come and monitor and help out. And the things that go on, they still have that ambiguity to come and monitor that and help us. Now, there's different races, just like we're different races. And the attitudes are just as different as we are. You know, and you hear about a lot of these bad things, but there's not of the good things that are reported there and there.
You're so right. I mean, there's a lot of fear mongering, and certainly in my work as a hypnotherapist, in your work as a spiritual medium, I think we're really in agreement about dispelling fear. Fear is the great. It's like molasses. I mean, it really incites us to not exceed or succeed to our potential. And you know, even when we're talking just about the nuts and bolts of like the Disclosure Project, even in Canada and the U.S., I mean, they the government has admitted to you know, I think it's 85 different races of extraterrestrials. And some of them are very, very humanoid, like us, like you and I. Some of them are what I would have to call light beings, who are not in dense physicality, who seem to be able to move effortlessly between the physical worlds and the spiritual worlds. And this is something I wanted to talk about a little bit with you, because do you accept that this is in fact a possibility, that there are evolved beings that are just simply not densely physical, that can
move?
Oh, yeah,
it's not just a possibility, it's probability, because they are there. When I sat down, I've asked some of the guys who I work with, and I've asked them, I said, what do they look like? I mean, we talk about the little green guys and the gray guys and stuff, but they say, well, if you look, the people that are of the different races, and they're talking about the extraterrestrial people, as we call them, right? They say they have no emotion. They don't blink. There are certain characteristics about them they can't do. And I've asked them about the abductions, and asked them about the abductions with, you know, women being pregnant. And I said, what's going on with that? they say, well, there's a genetic of one side of these people who can't reproduce. There's something happened with their genetics, they can't reproduce. So what they've given us is technology and trade.
Yeah.
And it seems kind of bastardized in a way that, you know, they would be so hard to take that. But they're not the ones. It's always the ones that we're taught to fear, you know, fear the gray ones, fear these ones, fear this. And it's this fear that keeps us kind of isolated from what is actually the truth.
Indeed. And I think without the fear, there are many people who would have volunteered their genetic information.
Oh,
you
sure.
know what I mean?
A heartbeat.
It's a, you know, I believe that there's a, you know, I'm from the States. I have a tremendous mistrust of the government.
Mm-hmm.
And my deep mistrust, I think, began when I was just a young university student, and I was sent to do my student teaching to the Rosebud Reservation of the Lakota Sioux
mm-hmm.
in South Dakota, and that's when my distrust of the government was fully realized when I had a full picture of the suffering when I saw the people, you know. Drug addicted and their spirituality taken from them and
third world country right beside ours.
Oh, it's almost hard for me to talk about it as a human being, you know,
mm-hmm.
because of what I witnessed. But I think that there's been and Wes will probably concur. I mean, there's been tremendous collaboration between the military industrial complex. And maybe, you know, maybe beings with not the most altruistic agenda. You know,
no, they're,
I mean.
They're much like the government, those beings. They're much like the government because their way of doing things is, well, without thought. It's premeditated, and it's just for one reason. And they get their job done, they get it done, and that's what they do. And they pretty much discard. I mean, you talk about people go missing all the time. There's people missing for a reason. And I don't want to cause a conspiracy theory. But if you think about the actuality of things, what the government knows and what they tell us is two different things for purpose and for reason. They'll give you a little bit of information, and they'll draw back on most of it.
Yeah.
And it's the lay people, not just the Native people, but other people in isolated areas in Alaska, you know, and they talk about this through the movies. It gets out, and also the movies hush up for a little bit. And what's happened to those people? Well, they've just been kind of, it's just a movie thing. They kind of flush it off a little bit.
Yeah.
But in your line of work, especially, you know, seeing some of the people that come through that are having that experience, that lose time, that talk about seeing these people, and even kids, not just adults, but even kids and stuff, you know.
Oh, yes.
And it's so prominent that, you know, it's one of these things, well, if we don't say enough about it, it'll just go away. But I think us as people are opening to that. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah, no, you are. And you know, I would say just kind of on a positive note, it really seems, at least in the work that I am doing, as far as, you know, regressing individuals to their experiences, that the more, you know, the more brutal, invasive experiences with the so-called grays, who I'm not sure are fully biological.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they may even have, they may be, for lack of a better term, cyborgs or some type of technological, biological beings, because they don't have emotions. They operate more like drones. But at any rate, these experiences don't seem to be happening now, Gordon.
Right.
They seem to have been isolated to a time period, you know, that affected a lot of boomers, a lot of people in our age group. But as far as what's happening now, boy, what we seem to be seeing are far more positive experiences. In fact, I would
exactly.
even call them spiritual experiences where we're being lifted up and you know, invited to become, to take our position as members of the galactic family. I personally don't think that we need any help from outside beings to be terrible to each other.
Right, right. I mean, that's
you know,
a hot state of mind from, you know, childhood, from school and everything else that's there, that base of fear. And we run off that, you know. And these enlightened beings that are coming here, angelic beings that are coming here, are bringing an awakening. I mean, we talked about at our meditation I teach here, people were afraid of that, you know, the end of the year was going to come, we're going to die and everything else. I said, it's not so much as that, it's a spiritual awakening. It's not religion.
Yes.
It's
yes.
a spiritual awakening. That's what's happening. And not just for a psychic or a medium, but for other life forms that are already here.
Yes.
You know, they talk about life forms that are coming, but they're already here.
Yes, indeed. Now, in most Native American traditions, one thing I find so fascinating and engaging is that there is a tremendous, acceptance, oneness with nature and the spirits of nature.
Mm-hmm.
So are there not, you know, I think that would include, you know, beings that we might refer to as leprechauns. I mean, it could include any type of being. I think there are beings that are between plant and animal, in a sense.
Oh yeah. I mean, dimensions as well, because I mean, we're not the only people that are here, and we've hit, you know, numerous times getting close to time dimension, time warp, and that type of stuff they talk about in the science field of study and magazines that are in there, and they talk about this, but then it becomes hush hush again. But we get so much and so close to that optimal point where they're thinking, well, yeah, it's possible, you know, the public can't handle it. But why not? The public can't handle it. We already know about it. We're not trying to hide it.
Yeah.
You know, and again, it comes back to fear. It really does come back to fear. And same with, like,
yes,
reading. You know, and people say, well, you know, my family pretty much disowned me because I do what I do. I said, well, you know what? If it brings enlightenment to people, know there's a world besides this, and I've died, I know what it's like on the other side. Why not? If I can serve spirit, and spirit being whether it's an angelic spirit or your mother, your father, grandfather, or even that of an angelic state where it's extraterrestrial in our sense of talking, then why not? If I can
indeed,
be a liaison,
why not? Absolutely. Now, I know that someone just told me, I had always thought, you know, Brantford, where you're coming to speak, for some unusual reason, it is an absolute hotbed of UFO activity.
The whole Northern region, yeah.
Sightings,
oh, yeah,
encounters. And someone that both Wes and I met actually said, well, you know, of course, that, you know, there's a large reserve in Brantford, and the Aboriginal peoples have regular ceremonies where they call the sky beings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Anishinaabe, yeah.
Yeah,
the
they
Six
are
Nations
the...
People. My wife's from Six Nations, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She's Mohawk, I'm Ojibwe.
Ah.
Something in time you never would have heard would happen, but it did. We warred with each other, that's why. So she says, why one? That's why you're here.
Indeed. And do you believe that in your spirituality, do you believe in the concept of reincarnation?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've known lifetimes that I've done things where it's so familiar to you, and it's they call a repeat or a bleed through, and these things are so prominent, and they're pinpoints. People talk about having deja vu. Well, what a deja vu is a pinpoint in the life that you've been there, and you're on the right track because you're repeating to try and adjust to better yourself, whatever learning purpose it is.
Oh my goodness. I've got to tell both of you this right now. I'm sitting at an outside bench. I'm at a facility, and there is a wild hare rabbit,
yep,
sitting right in front of me, staring at me.
Yeah. They call those a little brother, yeah.
There's a little brother.
They call him Boos, yeah.
Just staring at me.
Oh, that is so cool.
Oh.
And they would say when we do a ceremony, when someone passes or, you know, an event, and we do a spirit plate, and sometimes we'll put that spirit plate outside, so it's a meal of what you would have, and you're initially putting it outside, and you're saying, oh, my relation, you're giving homage to that, you know, the individual or whoever that's there, even the spirit, and the spirit will come in the form of an animal.
Mm.
People are always out there and always waiting for your Uncle Bob to show up, but it comes and there's a raccoon, and they say, well, that's just raccoon at second thought. But I teach people, as when you're developing psychically, there's two rules of thought the angels talk about. One is first rule of thought, which is always spirit. They're always making that first connection. Second rule of thought is our own thought, which we try to logicize, and we screw it all up. So that visitor, that's a spirit animal, and that's actually your totem animal.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, your
well,
little
he's
guy.
A lovely little,
nice.
A lovely little guy. He just,
mm-hmm,
just went under a tree there. So
came by, showed you a message, and away he went. That's what they do. It's not coincidence. There's no such thing.
There is no such thing. I couldn't agree more. Now, on your personal journey, Gordon, when you growing up as a child, did you always have the awareness of spirit, or was it something that came gradually, or how did it manifest in your life?
Well, what had happened? I remember back when I was I must have been about six or seven years old, and I lived in Toronto down by Kingston Road, and I was coming home from a friend's house, and I remember there's a person standing behind me, and he's walking with me, and we're kind of having this little mind conversation chat that's going on, and I asked him, I said, why am I here? And he says, turn, look at me. I looked at him, you could see right through him. And he says, you're here to learn lots. And at that moment, I knew there was something different that I did that other people did. And, you know, as a kid, you kind of put it off a little bit. But then I had visitors. Like, my birthday, this gentleman would come every year of my life and tell me, you're going to die when you're 26. I'm going to remind you, every year. And then when I was 26, he didn't show up. At 26, I had a car almost fall on me. And I had my brother, who died of crib death, was the one that pulled me out from under the car. During the process, which was really weird, is I was on the plane and I was looking out the window, and the steward came up and he said, you know, have you made up your mind what you want? I said, yeah, I think I'll stay. At that point, that was my point of doing readings and getting into this work more and more. So I'm doing this, and this will be my professional job after this. I mean, I've gone for training with all kinds of different mediums. I believe every medium needs to have the training. You have to hone the skill. You know, and it's, a lot of people may have it by birth and born with it, and that's great, but you still need to have the dedication to work with spirit, and there's a responsibility to the spirit world to make sure they get their message through, and a responsibility to you as the reader or the client, because just boasting things, you're just using your ego, and there's no room for ego in this business. And so, I mean, when I'm with my teacher, you know, James Van Prague, when I'm at his place, and you know, he tells me, he said, well, I'm going to put you on the website. I'm like, well, that's great. What can I do to help? He says, do what you're doing. Just do what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's the best. The best thing for me as a student, for my teacher to tell me something like that, it's great.
Oh, man. He is just a blessed person. I think I mentioned in my note, you know, 6 degrees of separation. You know, I know his former wife, Hollister Rand, through my sister in Los Angeles, and certainly she is always supported, and I think they still share a great love and respect. And James Van Prague is one of the truly gifted guys. If you're working with him, I know you're working in the direct connection for sure. Now, your meditation groups, certainly that would be through meditation, through correct meditation, meditation with spirit. This is certainly one path to develop your skills or develop your discipline.
Yeah, because it develops in many different ways. I mean, I started way back when, about 13, 15 years ago, when I went to see James in Toronto, when I first met him, and I had read a book about his and talked about the meditation. That's why I decided to, you know, do it myself and ask for his guidance. And I knew for some reason when I left, you know, I said, I'm going to meet him and Tony Stockwell, another medium that's out in England. And, you know, lo and behold, I get to meet these people. I become their students. And it blossoms from there. And so the meditation, when everybody's there, it's about them learning individually. It's about them having a community. And it's not something where it's rigid, but it's guided. And over the years, I've been implementing more and more of a technique to open themselves out and help their own psychic development come to par. Because not everybody's psychic. Everybody's medium. Everybody's psychic, but not everybody's a medium.
Yeah.
And there are people who may argue the fact, but that's fine. I mean, I'm not here to argue or try and debate anything or try to, you know, prove something to anybody, you know. But the thing is, with my teaching, and I know for a fact that not everybody's a medium, but there's a lot of people call themselves medium and hoping to pull someone in, and the responsibility is so important. Fact. Responsibility is so important. You know, otherwise you're just, oh, yeah, John, you said John. Yeah, he's here now. You know, you can't do that. It's very disrespectful. And I tell people, I'm stupidly honest. I don't you know, lie about anything. And if it's going to come out the truth, that's what you're going to get. You know, if Aunt May's not there, she's not there. Sorry. You know?
Yeah. Well, you don't always, you know, people can become addicted in a way to seeking a spirit message from a specific individual or whatever, and I think it can reach an unhealthy point, and there are unscrupulous communicators out there who will work that vulnerability. But I think probably, and please correct me if this isn't the case, you don't always have control over who shows up. I think that the person always gets the information they need, but they might not necessarily want to accept it.
Yes, I mean, I've had clients sit in front of me and they don't want to talk to Uncle Bob. They want, you know, their father or something. And I say, I can't pull them. I can't just yank them out of there. Otherwise, have Elvis Presley and Michael Jackson. I'd be having a field day. You know, I said, it doesn't work like that. Usually what I tell people, the strongest spokesperson in spirit on that family side will come through. And sometimes they don't want to talk to that person because they had a bad relationship. But it's not so much about the reading that the information you're looking for. They're telling you something because they're telling you why they've done something. They're trying to, you know, they're not asking or begging for forgiveness, but they're telling you what's happening here. And sometimes people come with such an idea, a degree of what they want to hear. The rest of the information may be great, and that information they don't get, they walk around and say, oh, it sucked. That was awful.
Yeah.
You know?
They're not open to hearing the message.
Exactly. And some people, like I tell, they have a hard time talking about, you know, trying to communicate with their loved one. And I say, well, you know, there's a buddy of mine, Gary Holgate, in Sacra, one of the angels I work with. They had a conversation one day, and I lost track of time. I wasn't there. And they developed something on my website called Dear Last Letter. And it's a letter you can write. Actually, when you write the letter intentionally, through thought, spirit does hear you. And that letter goes out into the universe, into the Milky Way. And in that Milky Way, you get a registered star through the North American Astronomical Society is registered to that person. So they can take it on the iPod or whatever device they have, punch in the astronomical chart that's there, and look up in the sky and see that star looking at them, watching them over them.
Yeah.
So there's two points of that communication that's there because you're helping the consciousness, you know, and you're helping that person through writing that letter, and there's a healing process through that as well, you know.
Yes.
And it does always happen. It takes time. Took my father 2 years to come to me.
Wow.
You know, so it's not always like yesterday, oh, I see everybody else. You know, but yeah, everybody's different. Everybody's different.
It's true. And the vibration of what I often, you know, what I often tell people who, you know, maybe come to me and maybe they have an idea that they're psychic or empathetic and they say, why am I not getting a message? Why am I not getting a sign from my loved one? But I think that deep grief is such a low vibration that it can inhibit communication. I think communication, as you just said, I think it happens when it's right.
It does.
When the person has moved. Go ahead, Garrett. Go ahead.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Let's finish.
Oh, I was just saying that the vibration is so low that it's like trying to cut through, you know, a fog bank. The loved one in the other dimension may want to communicate, but they can't cut through. They can't cut through that deep fear-based grief reaction.
Exactly. And Samuel, he tells me, he said, you know, sometimes he said, people hear, they never listen. In spirit, they're always listening. So spirit, when they cross over, it takes some time to adjust between what they've gone through their death process or that, you know, the demise process. After the process there, they have to learn how to communicate. They just don't go get angel wings and sit on a cloud and say, oh, I'm going to go and see them. They have to learn how to communicate with us because we don't listen. We're so busy with our lives. And like I said, sometimes the blinders are on there, you know. And anyone who's come to me, if they're grief-stricken that much and I find they're becoming dependent on me, I will refer them to a counselor. And I've done that several times. I said, so I'm sorry, you cannot come see me no more because, I mean, it's a business that I'm doing, but there's also responsibility. Like I said, you have to be able to recognize when that person needs a counselor or a psychotherapist, and you have to say, no more of this.
Yeah.
You know? And it's the ones that take advantage of that that put us in big trouble.
No kidding. You know, and certainly I follow those same guidelines, Gordon. If someone is coming to me for hypnotherapy and there are other issues, you know, it's our duty to refer that person to someone who has either the medical or skills or the training to help them in the way that they need help.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's very true. Wes, are there anybody chiming in from the chat room? Does anyone have a question for Gordon, or do you have a question yourself?
Oh, thanks, Leslie. Yes, I'm monitoring the chat room, and what I do normally in the chat room, and this is for our guests and for all our listeners, is just greet people and summarize the conversations that goes along and field any questions and share websites and stuff. So no questions from the chat room tonight, but I do have something I wanted to ask Gordon, actually.
Go ahead.
Okay, wonderful. Well, you know, I'm looking at your website, which is rich. Lots of fantastic.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. There's so much info there. If you don't get the tip of the hat when you go to Gordon's website, there's something wrong there. So I'm looking at the website, and I'm particularly looking at your calendar. Now, you mentioned this in passing, Gordon, but you have several different kinds of activities that you might do in a given month. For instance, I'm looking at, for this month, personal psychic development and readings and meditations and things like that. Do you want to talk about the way this works and how people get in on it?
Yeah, the personal psychic development class I had developed, the class is made to help somebody or directed to help somebody develop their own selves psychically, how to connect with spirit, how to connect with all the energies and everything that's wrapped up in the box to help them open up to become what I call awakened. And now the process of mediumship and psychic development is people are either asleep, awake, or awakened. And between those three states in that program, that's how they learn to do that. They learn how to develop that in that course. Now, the course is one of the things I made firm about that. It's not meant for anybody to go do readings after they're done. Because I'm a firm believer, you have to have the experience. You have to have the foundation. You have to have the confidence. And if you don't have that, taking a course and going out right away and charging $100, and I've seen people $200, and they only had 2 months experience out of a weekend course, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's awful. And so this development course came, and that's one of the things. So on the website, I will usually have it on my my dedicated Facebook page, a spiritual medium, Gordon Ellison. I'll have it on there, or I'll have it on my my website. And there's a second course that's coming up with that in September, and that course is developed more towards opening up towards the possibilities of doing the readings and the cost and the charge and everything that's involved with that, and again, set around the responsibility, right? The meditations, they're every first and second Thursday of the month, 7 to 9, they're at my house, they're $5 a person, and we have people come out and bring something to eat because we have a fun time. It's not rigid. It's not something where you're not supposed to enjoy yourself because I believe that laughter is a very good energy to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know,
and the next one's on the 16th, right, Gordon?
I'm sorry?
The next event, Meditation Nights, the 16th of April.
16th of April, yes. I think it's the April. I think there's one. I have to look at my daughter around the April 28th. So before yes, the meditation will be there. But every first and second Thursday afterwards, then that's a religious thing every year. I've been doing it for a long time now.
Fantastic. Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Yeah. Wow. And As you continue with your own work, Gordon, are you feeling positive about the future of mankind, or are we just masters of our own limitation? Have we just abused and raped Mother Earth so relentlessly that there is no turning back? But do you see a hopeful? A hopeful future for humanity.
Absolutely. I mean, we're children in a play box, and that's basically what it is. And we try and find out where we fit. We fight. We shadow box. And at the end of the day, we try to do the best we can as human beings. That's where those other spiritual beings, and that's where those other people. I don't like to call them extraterrestrial because I think that gives a wrong denotation to them. I like to call them light beings. Because they come in and they help to balance the earth. I mean, now we're going through the process of our ice is melting too fast. We're losing water. The water's going where? And so there's a lot of elements of the earth that has to be looked at, and there's help from the outside of the earth that needs to be taking place here. And I think it's people, not in the governmental element, but people, as we know it, as the blue-collar workers that are going to say, enough's enough, we want to change. And you're going to see this flip that's coming where people are going to start self-preservation. They're going to start their own gardens where they have a big backyard. They're going to put gardens in there. They're going to plant food in there, a lot of more solar energy, that type of thing. I've always told people that if we can look at Sweden, look at their ability to harness all the factors that are there, other countries are doing it. We're the only country in North America that doesn't do that because we want control.
Yeah, that's right.
And if we just take that little bit, nobody has to go without food. We have enough in the world. And we have smorgasbords, and we can just feed everybody. I don't know why we have to have third world countries within the center of Canada and the center of the United States.
And well, it's artificially... artificially constructed in the same way, you know, being a person of Irish ancestry, you know, we don't call the Irish potato famine, we don't call it a famine, we call it mm-hmm. the Great Hunger, because it was orchestrated really about ethnic cleansing.
Right.
And there were carts of food, of produce being, you know, wheeled through the streets of Dublin to the shipyards to go to the UK, while women and children were dying in the streets from hunger. So this is artificially been, you know, been created. There's no reason for anybody to be hungry, and we really have to, as you say, we really have to get rid of these GMO, these plastic, toxic, non-nutritional foods that a whole generation has been eating. I mean, and not just here, because we ship our stuff. I mean, they have McDonald's everywhere. You
oh
know?
My gosh, yeah. It's just
everywhere.
Awful. I mean, if you look at the status of African countries and communities, the people in Africa, they eat grains and rice and such, and they have no problem with their teeth, no problem with anything else. When we come to our North America, sure, we have everything, but we have everything in such an abundance. We, as a whole nation, don't realize that we don't need all of that. We don't need all of that.
Yeah. We need satisfying food. The thing, when food is nutritionally complete,
right.
A very small amount is really satisfying.
Exactly.
But when it's empty food, when it's full of, you know, refined sugars and other toxic things that we don't need, then it's never satisfying. It's like
right.
dope. You know, it's so we have to kind of switch away our whole way of thinking about all this. In fact, you know, in Australia, and I'm sure this is something you know all about, Gordon, forgive me for just being so redundant, but in Australia, the Aboriginal peoples have a huge project going on where they are, and my son is an environmentalist, where they are doing environmental restoration
mm-hmm.
because they found that the Aboriginal peoples were suffering from, and just like in North America, suffering from huge high rates of diabetes, cancers, things that never existed in the population before they rejected or moved away from the traditional diet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole movement now, a lot of government funding behind it, a lot of reparations being made, where there are scientists doing actual environmental reconstruction, and the Aboriginal peoples of Australia are now again being sustained by a healthy, organic diet, the same diet that worked, you know, for millennia.
Yeah, yeah. I'm getting someone talking to me, not physically, but I give someone talk to me. They're talking about soul food, and I've asked them about that because you're going on talking about the food and everything. And they talk about the soul food. If you think about Christmas, if you think about holidays, and not maybe just in Christmas channel, but holidays and any type of religion, any gathering with family, with friends, there's a vibration that's raised. Now, when the animals are killed, and the Buddhists talk about this, you know, the emotion goes through the animal, and you're eating that emotion type of thing. It's the vibrational change that sets the tone for the soul food, and that soul food becomes nurturing. When the soul food's not nurturing and it's just, you know, digested without thought or without, you know, giving thanks for it, it actually has the same properties that the animal left with it. So that energy is still in there, because energy is everything. Science will talk about it as well. Energy is everything. And when you're eating that same energy, you still get that emotional upset with it. I mean, kids nowadays, you remember when we're growing up, kids are 14-year-old. That's a 14-year-old. You can tell. Nowadays, it looks like he's 28. No, he's only 13.
Kidding.
And you look at them, and that's the body dynamics that's showing through the chemicals that's being processed.
Yes. And girls are beginning to menstruate at age 8 or 9.
Way too early.
And this is not unusual. This is not unusual. This is normal, and that has got to speak to estrogens that are in the food. It has to speak to that.
Well,
I mean,
what I find funny, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there. What I find
funny, or
kind of odd, is that the United Nations sees this, yet their idea and their opinion is more about what can we do to either divert or who is fighting with who. And you're getting these people that are coming from different planets or different places or dimensions, and they know what's going on with the Earth, yet these people who have the power won't do nothing about it.
Yeah.
They'll have some little kid go up and do a speech, and that's great, but what are you doing about it?
Yeah. It's a grassroots operation, Gordon, I think.
Exactly.
I don't expect. Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
And I don't expect it to happen on a governmental level. I expect that individuals and maybe even tribal organizations will be using zero point energy. I mean, there are units the size of a suitcase that could power an entire, you know, an entire community.
Exactly.
I think probably that's what we're going to see. Greed is what's behind all this, and
yeah.
It's always been greed. It's like, but I think that there is now tremendous awareness among all peoples, and thank goodness for the internet, because we can communicate and interface. It may not be a spiritual exercise, the internet, but I think it's, Wes and I have said this before, I think it's like training wheels.
It is. And it's still type of a spiritual communication, because it's done with radio waves. And that's how spirits make a connection as well. My son was talking, my son Keith was talking about string theory and about what you're talking about with, you know, having the energies and to be able to power something that's very, very small, that you can go in and power your vehicle within 10 minutes of leaving in your house and coming back out and it's done.
Yeah.
You have the education to do that.
We do. And even looking to the past and retrieving what's been done. I mean, speaking of global civilizations, antediluvian civilizations in Southeast Asia, in I guess it would be Thailand, there's a tremendous ancient structure called Nan Madal, which in fact it's now believed was an ancient weather station. That area, perhaps to the Lemurian people, who knows, that was the breadbasket. They had, you know, they were growing a lot of grains, and
right.
So it was important to keep the typhoons away from the crops. So they built this incredible stone structure, again, with no kinds of hieroglyphs. It wasn't a religious or ceremonial structure. It was purely kind of a weather station, power station, and they actually had floodgates where they brought eels, electric eels,
really cool.
Yeah, they brought the electric eels into the power station. Were able to set up some kind of a charge. I mean, they knew what they were doing. They had obviously sophisticated knowledge of electronics and weather and such, but they were using organic materials. They were using the stone that was here. They were using everything that was on the earth, so the balance wasn't disrupted.
Right, and there's no depletion of nothing.
No. No depletion.
No
depletion whatsoever.
It all comes to money, and that's unfortunate, because, I mean, the oils you see that they dig up, I mean, sure, they do what they do, but you can do other things, resources that will take supplements of oils, you know, but now you got the environments going through the oceans and the waters, and water's our lifeline. That's our bloodline. And when things get polluted in the waters, it's, you know, out of sight of mind, it's going to be our own fault, right?
Indeed. And this is a consciousness. Again, I think the awareness, as you said so eloquently, I think as awareness increases, and we don't even have to put a spiritual label on it, just awareness of well-being, awareness of balance, a connection to all that is, then we can make these changes. We have the technology. We have the technology now. In fact, Paul Hellyer, we did a little interview with him that hasn't been aired yet, but he was talking about how, you know, every factory that makes weapons of destruction, weapons of death,
right,
could be refitted to make zero-point energy units. Every factory that makes munitions could be simply reconceived and rebooted, and not only would we have a benevolent vibration and a wonderful opportunity to provide power to everyone globally, but it would also provide a lot of jobs. You know, so.
Well, I think it was said best. I watched. I love Star Trek. I'm a little bit of a Trekkie fan, and I love the
Me
old
too.
Star Trek because
so
it shows the, you know, the flip phone with the recorder, you know, and Lieutenant Uhura with the earpiece, right? So you see that back then. So I think Gene Roddenberry, I think he was a bit of a Nostradamus in his days. And when they talk about on the Next Generation, there was a quote that the actor Picard played. He made. He said that if we can eliminate the need for want, we'd be okay.
Yeah.
Imagine eliminating the need for want.
Yes.
It'd be brilliant.
And then with that goes drug and alcohol abuse.
Exactly.
Domestic violence. I mean, once those things are addressed, everything else will go. I really believe in the Gene Roddenberry universe. I think he was really tuned in. He was really tuned in to something.
Ahead of
time. Is for sure. And you know,
Leslie. Sorry.
Oh yes, Wes.
Just watching the clock and watching the switchboards. We have about 4 minutes or so left, so I know you always like our guests to summarize and tell us how to get in touch and all that good stuff.
Well,
how did this go so fast? How did this go so fast?
It's like a reading. They always happen that way. They go fast, especially when you enjoy yourself. And I really did enjoy myself here.
Oh, thank you, Gordon. I cannot wait to meet you in person. We'll be able to hang out and chat further. And maybe I would love to come to one of your meditation groups, too, at some point. That would be fantastic.
I'd like to talk to you about hypnosis. I've took hypnosis courses, and I love them. Absolutely love them.
Oh, all
right.
So we've
got a love there.
We will confab. Well, hypnosis is ancient in the extreme, by the way, and the native peoples used hypnosis. They may not have called it that, but they used it in it's sort of part of the sweat lodge thing.
Exactly.
Getting people into an altered state. Yeah, it's true. Anyway, Gordon, tell us the best way for our listeners to get a hold of you so they can get your book. Then we want to talk about your book.
Yeah. You can order my book through Balboa Press or through Chapters, Amazon.com. You can also go to my website. The Facebook website, dedicated site, is Spiritual Medium Gordon Ellison, or my own website is at gordonellison.com. That can be reached there, or www.gordonellison.com, or call me at my home at 905-991-0790.
Oh, wonderful. And we will put that information up on our Facebook page as well so that people...
Also on James Van Prague, on there as well.
Oh, yeah.
I can't forget my teacher.
We can't forget James Van Prague. He's the best. He is the best.
Really great
guy. Well, Gordon,
guy.
I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart and Wes, too, for joining us this evening. And it's been just a wonderful chat. And we look forward to seeing you at the Alien Cosmic Expo, if not before.
Very good. You guys take care and have a great time. And keep looking up. Never know what you see.
We will.
Okay, we'll do that.
I'm looking for my rabbit right now. No, he went into the spirit dimension, I think.
You'll probably see him again before you leave, trust me.
I hope so.
Okay, take care now.
Thank you, Gordon. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, and that was our wonderful guest, Gordon Ellison. So, Wes, is it time to say goodnight?
Well, we've got about a minute left, so I guess we're getting very close to it. So it was great that we could connect with Gordon, a little bit of a telephone follow-up, but no problem, no foul, really. And I guess we should wrap up the show, and after you do, I'll play our theme, and we're off into the horizon.
All right, folks. Well, remember to join us next Sunday night at 9 p.m. We'll have another fascinating guest. And also remember, we are not alone. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Leslie.
Good night, Wes.